This podcast is a part of the Neuhoff Media Podcast Network.
Big news last night from the school board meeting. Well, news on a lot of fronts. And it is our great pleasure to welcome back to the program Dan Oakes and Reagan Lewis. It's good to see you both again. Dan, you have served on the Decatur Public Schools Board of Education for a long time. You first served in what, 91?
91. I served for 4 years. I was off 4 years, and I've been back ever since.
Why did you go off, and why did you come back?
I was defeated by Jeff Perkins, and I turned around and beat him in the next election.
Well, there you go. Who's keeping score? Dan is, all these years later. All right. And then seven terms. I mean, that is a long time. Let's be very clear about this. The Board of Education members, they have to be elected by the public, but you get paid zero. I mean, there's no stipend. There's no anything.
No, nothing.
So what you get then are occasional thank you maybe or pat on the back, but more than likely just grief.
You get grief, but there's some satisfaction.
Right. But I'm saying from the general public, what you get is mainly grief because people don't write letters to the editor or show up at a school board meeting and go, hey, you're doing a great job. That's just not human nature.
Yeah, that was about 1996. I think that happened.
Once?
Once.
Yeah. All right. So now you know everybody's going to go, oh, well, sure. Dan had this big master plan, you know, pocketing money from BLDD to build a school at Dennis, or, you know, in a new place where nobody wanted it in Lincoln Park. Now he's running off to Florida. But has this been in the works for a while?
Yeah, we started looking for a property down there in March of last year. And it's taken over a year just to build the property.
Okay, so now you're ready to go and head to Florida.
Yep.
I understand that the older I get. It used to kind of befuddle me as why it was like constitutionally mandated. You get to a certain age and you move to Florida. And then you just, the older you get, I hate winter. And so that's what people do, right?
So do my knees. That's one of the reasons.
All right. So, well, listen, thank you for your service. People can think one way or another about any number of things, but seven terms of serving a school district that needs all the help it can get, I publicly just want to acknowledge and thank you for that.
Thank you.
And we've had a lot to talk about over the years.
We have. Yes.
Some things haven't changed since the beginning of that 7-year run.
You're probably right.
All right. So what happens next about your replacement?
The policy out there says there's 60 days for the board to reappoint. There's specific procedures in the...
Well, somebody will fill out your term, or does it fill out your term until the next election?
They will fill out the term till the next election.
Okay.
And if they want to run again, they have to go through all of that.
And that next election would be April of 2023?
Yes.
Okay. So I guess, not speaking for the board, but they're probably looking for somebody that's interested in being beyond just that April 2013 date.
Yes.
Okay.
That would be ideal.
All right. So you leaving immediately?
I will do the meeting of the 23rd, and I'm leaving the 25th.
All right. So give me your take. Seven terms. What are you proud of? What would you like to go back and change? Walk me through it.
The highlight of that is 25 graduations.
Yeah.
Getting the kids across the stage, going back and looking at the high school referendum and how that kind of brought the community together. We've had some rough times when we had Reverend Jackson down. That was a little rough. But by and large, it's just trying to do what's right for the kids.
All right. And what would you go back and change if you could?
I don't know that I'd really change a lot.
Really?
I think what we've seen, there's an evolution as you do this longer. One of my complaints has been there are only a handful of people since I've been on the board that have done more than one term. And it really takes more than one to get a good feel of what's going on.
I think that's in general, right? People run because they're mad about something and they get there and they go, oh, crap, this is a lot of work.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we've had them tell us that.
Yeah.
So
continuity is important. You've also had a whole lot of superintendents.
We have.
Is that a function of just the job, or is that something specific? I look at, I was having this conversation one time with Bill Clevenger, you know, when he was the executive director of the Park District. He'd been through like 13 superintendents during his tenure of being the head of the Park District.
I think superintendents now are lasting anywhere from 3 to 5 years.
Man, that's hard to build any continuity.
It is, but...
And then also everybody comes in with their own plan.
Yeah, and their superintendents are in limited supply. I mean, it's not an 8-to-5 job. It's a
No one has an 8-to-5 job anymore, Dan.
I will.
No, you're retired. you have now an 8-to-5 job. All right. So let's get to clearly what's on everyone's mind. And we know the Lincoln Park deal is dead.
Yes.
Do you have any understanding about why you felt one way when clearly the park board was going another way? I mean, it was a few weeks ago when you said you thought 30 days. And I'm thinking, I'm not sure that's what the case is. And it turned out not to be.
Yeah. From conversations with Clay, I think he was very optimistic. The park district needs to divest themselves of land, and we were an opportunity to do that. I think the issue was there were some people with long Decatur names that approached them. And
yeah, well, Clay doesn't get to make that decision.
He doesn't, unfortunately.
All right. So now what are we looking at? Because now we're talking about getting out of the West End, looking at something different. Where is the Woodrow Wilson conversation? Because when we were in originally, and I asked about that, the answer I heard was we did an exhaustive look at that and it wouldn't work. And then in the middle of all this, a sign goes up and the building's for sale for $800.
Yeah, that came out of the blue. There's a tax sale, but there are also, I think, $17,000 or something in liens. Plus, you're going to get whoever buys it's going to have the burden of demolishing.
Yeah, but $17,000 is still, pretty cheap to buy a piece of land, right, Reagan? I mean, that's, where was the disconnect in looking for a conversation around it and not knowing that it was going to be up for auction?
Well, I think as far as gaining control of Woodrow Wilson, initially it was my understanding that we approached the owner of Woodrow Wilson and he dug his heels in and said he absolutely had no interest in selling that property. And right. So we were sort of at a standstill.
But then how did it get how did it get from that point to where now it's not even the owner, the county's auctioning it?
Well, certainly with a tax sale.
Yeah.
Then the owner no longer has control of that property. So once taxes have been sold,
But I mean, that's a pretty short window between one and the other, right?
And there were likely a lot of notices that were sent to that owner about redeeming his taxes and that sort of thing. But yeah, once the taxes are sold, that the owner can go redeem their taxes and keep control of the property. But clearly, that's not something that they have an interest in doing. And that is a way that you can get property for very cheap, buying it for taxes. And certainly that happened as Lincoln Park's falling off. We know that a lot of people in the community are interested in the Woodrow Wilson site. As we've mentioned before, that was the board's initial, first choice was the Woodrow Wilson site. And for a variety of reasons, the recommendation was not to move forward Woodrow.
So who was making those recommendations? Who was doing the day-to-day work on this? Because there seems to be a disconnect between point A and point B on the Woodrow Wilson. And I've got a reluctant owner that doesn't want to sell it, but who's already in arrears. That doesn't make any sense to me. Like, you'd think the guy would want to get out of it, not the other way around. And then all of a sudden, there's a sign that says $800. I think that was bungled, quite frankly. And I mean, but as board members, you weren't doing that research, right?
When we looked at it, we were looking at the size of the entire area to get that. The sale came out of the blue.
Yeah, but when you say we, you're speaking collectively, but I mean, that was staff, right?
That was staff, and there were, I did a lot of time looking at sites.
Okay.
Andrew Taylor looked at sites. We encouraged board meetings to go to look at potential sites, like we sent people to Lincoln Park when it was viable. The key to Woodrow is we would have to have literally every house.
Okay,
to get that.
Explain to me why that's the case. Okay. I went to Woodrow Wilson in the seventh grade, and they closed the school after my seventh grade year. They did a lot of that, by the way, throughout my career DPS. We in and out. Yeah. People parked. What's changed?
So what they're telling us now is for a Cade building, which
they and what who's they?
The architects.
Okay.
You need at least 10 acres. The site at Lincoln Park was 14, so it was perfect. But you need to have bus routes to run through there. Are we going out on main streets? Is there a play area? Do we have safe areas where the kids can play without worrying about anybody? So there's a lot of things we look at when you start going into this. A lot of these people, it would be eminent domain. And personally, I have no desire to kick anybody out of their house.
No, but that takes a long time, too.
And it's terrible PR.
No, when it's public now, the property values are going to be, I mean, they're going to want a lot more than what it's worth. I understand all that. My question is, how did they get buses in and out of Woodrow Wilson for 50 years, and now you can't unless you buy up all the neighborhood?
Yeah. I don't know how they did it. I mean, that school's been closed since 79.
Yeah, I know. But we had the same thing at Johns Hill. We went through K through 8, and that was a logistical nightmare, you know, to go pick up the kid at school, right? Mm-hmm. And you had to fight all the other cars and the buses. But they did it.
They did it.
And for 100 years, we built schools in neighborhoods. That's what we did.
And that's where they should be.
Yeah.
Not far end of one of them.
All right. So Woodrow's, you don't think, is a go?
No. I don't think it is personally, and I don't think the board as a whole, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think the board as a whole is interested in going through everything we would have to go through to control the whole area we need.
Okay, so what happens, Reagan, next? And I address it to you, even though Dan's president for another couple of days, he's out of here and going to Florida. So what happens next, and what's the conversation about maybe spending this money elsewhere?
So at the Finance Committee meeting on... what was that, Monday night? Monday. You know, we had a discussion about where we go from here. So the feedback that we've received over the last several weeks was that really the community wants to see Dennis in the West End. And what you're seeing the most of is Woodrow, right? But also, if we're going to not do Woodrow, then to expand the existing footprint of Dennis Mosaic. Those options, either one, are going to require more time than what we have with respect to the deadline for the CARES money. Dr. Curry had indicated during the Finance Committee meeting on Monday that really the board needs to kind of land the plane on this in the next 2 weeks so that then they can get the grant revised and however they, you know, and applied for with enough time to tweak it to the extent the ISBE comes back and says, you know, we don't like this or this isn't going to work. So we have discussed building a new building for the next oldest site. So we have the Dennis Mosaic and Kaleidoscope being the two oldest, but then we also have the American Dreamer STEM Academy.
Which is what old school? People of a certain age get confused by all the new names.
Yes.
So Enterprise.
Enterprise.
You have land, you have opportunity to do something there.
Well, we wouldn't build an American Dreamer on that property.
Okay.
So what we've learned doing our research is that land out there isn't serving those families and those students. So when that school moved out there, enrollment declined because parents didn't want to send their family or their children to that school for whatever reason, whether it's a transportation issue, whatever it was. You'll recall that French is just a couple blocks off of, you know, the main downtown area, walkable, transportation wasn't an issue. There were multi-generational families there. And what, you know, I was not necessarily part, and Dan could probably touch on this more. I was not part of the initial analysis where, you know, we were looking at what facilities are staying open and closing as part of the bold facility plan. Certainly it was determined that Enterprise was going to be a school that could accommodate this. But what we're learning is the location isn't working for these students. With it being a magnet school, we can move that school without upsetting the boundaries. And that's something as well, if we were to move Dennis and build Dennis at a new site.
Outside of the West End.
Outside of the West End, yeah. We're moving boundary lines.
And you have to redraw all the boundaries.
Yes.
And it impacts everybody, which is something the board has not had an interest in doing.
So is the transportation issue something that's not solved by busing? I mean, are you worried more about after school hour activities or parents being involved, or is it just kids attending? I mean, I feel like getting kids to a school shouldn't be a problem.
It shouldn't be, but, you know, for example, if they miss the bus, then it's not walkable for them in any respect.
Yeah, but I don't know that I ever went to a school that was walkable.
I think the other part of that is it somewhat prohibits the kids from doing after-school activities and being involved when they have to get a bus to get home.
Okay, so what's the potential then here? I mean, if it's not Enterprise, where?
We are considering a move to Oak Grove, but we're still, you know, and I understand what's frustrating to the public is that we're basically thinking out loud in a public forum at this point. And so it's confusing. And I think it's a little frustrating for people to listen to us bounce ideas, but Oak Grove is ready. essentially for a build. We have to do our due diligence and make sure that that is going to resolve the problems that we are currently facing. You know, and a lot of the problems that American Dreamer has with respect to their athletic facilities and that and the space issues that they have, Dennis has those same problems. And so certainly my position is that we have to have a plan for both schools. I mean, we, you know, one is certainly going to be taken care of with CARES money. I think that is the way that the majority of the board is thinking, is that we will do a new building with CARES.
If you have this opportunity to do this, because if you don't, this money is going to get spent somewhere else.
That's not going back to Washington.
No, and we're a donor state. If you can get a new facility, I mean, Nick and I have said this from day one, regardless of what side of the argument you're on in any of this, if you have the opportunity, whether you, whatever you think leading up to the opportunity, if you have the opportunity to build a new school that's paid for by the United States of America, not just, you know, people in District 61 tax base, then you should do that. And so Oak Grove is potentially
Potential. And I think we all, administration and the board, the majority of the board, agree that sort of, you know, splitting the baby and doing renovations at either site, the Dennis site or the American Dreamer site, isn't really going to take care of the foundational problems. So doing some renovations at Dennis and at both the campuses, it's still going to be a dual campus. And really, the feedback is they want to be under one roof and one building.
And then the tough thing for you guys, though, is that was a decision made to split them up.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't want to discount the amount of effort that committee put into it. Certainly the committee that went, you know, that did a lot of the groundwork as far as planning the dual campus, they put a lot of effort into it, and they're really excited about the opportunity. The COVID restrictions have really impacted their ability to collaborate and for them to move forward with the plans they had. We don't want to pit the schools against one another either.
Look, this is the problem when you change out superintendents like you do socks, and when you have new school board majorities coming in, is you go this way and then you go that way and you go this way and you go that way. I'm all for change agents, but I also think there's got to be places for guys like Dan who have been around long enough to know that you can't just keep doing this whiplash thing every 4 years. And that's not any one individual's fault. It's hard to get some momentum. Listen, you're welcome here anytime. Dan, congratulations. You're heading to Florida soon?
End of the month.
Okay, so you got like 30 days to rip Dan on Facebook, and then he's not going to care. Thank you for your service. No joke, 7 terms in 25 years is a long time, and I thank you for your service.
Thank you.
All right, Reagan, you guys got to get proactive and quit being reactive.
Absolutely, I agree.
We appreciate you. Thank you guys for coming in.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.